Well, we're at the Iowa Renewable Fuels Summit being held here in Altoona, Iowa, and we're going to talk with Monty Shaw, Executive Director of the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association. Well, Monty, I guess just in general, what's the state of the industry here as we sit in January of 15?
Well, I told about 600 people from about 25 states that the state of the Iowa renewable fuels industry is that we're ready to roll. I've never seen the potential for rapid growth be evident as much as it is today, probably in the last 10 years. The feedstock supply is through the roof. The financials are looking good. We came off a good 2014, financially sound industry, technology markets. It's all there for us to grow rapidly. But the problem is everything but the public policy. And so with the RFS, the Renewable Fuel Standard, kind of on pause while the EPA tries to figure out what to do with it, with Congress messing around with the tax code, we really aren't getting those signals to go forward, to punch the gas. We're kind of stuck in neutral. We're revving the car, but we need to be able to get moving forward.
Okay, when you say there's great potential for growth, how would that growth happen?
What we need to do is kick into new markets. We've essentially saturated the E10 market. About 97-98% of all gas in the United States is blended with 10% ethanol. So we need to get into those E15 markets primarily. And the challenge, though, is oil companies don't want us to. And they kind of control the pipelines. They control a lot of what happens at service stations through their contracts. And if we don't have a renewable fuel standard being implemented the way Congress intended it to kind of crack through that monopoly to give us that market access, we're just stuck. You hit what's a fake, but, it's real blend wall. So of E10. So without that, we can't expand. We can't produce more. We can't, there's 2 billion bushels of corn looking for a home right now that nobody wants, even after all the exports, all the ethanol that we do, as well as the domestic livestock industry. We still have 2 billion bushels of corn sitting around. We should be turning some of that into ethanol and blending at higher blends like E15.
Is it the potential for plants to produce more existing plants? We're going to see any more plants built down the road?
Well, there are actually some plants under development that people would like to build. They see the need for it. Ethanol is still a very cheap, if not the cheapest source of octane on the market in the United States today. But we have plenty of untapped potential in existing plants too. So if the EPA and the Obama administration said, hey, we're going to get the RFS back on track, here's a robust number, more in line with what Congress envisioned for 2015 and 2016, you would see us crank up these existing plants, continue to do debottlenecking operations, kind of mini expansions, if you will, and efficiencies. And it's amazing how much we can produce if you just give us that challenge. But right now we're being told, hey, we don't want any more. Just sell E10 and that's it. And meanwhile, we see corn go in piles and we see the corn price go down. We've seen, the price of corn drop below the cost of production. We've seen land values go down. We've seen John Deere lay off 1,000 people over the last few months. The negative economic fallout from not enforcing the RFS is already being felt in Iowa.
How much is this huge drop in oil prices and gas prices, how much impact is that having on the ethanol industry?
Yeah, for the ethanol side, not a lot for corn ethanol. Now, I do think if this was like the new reality for the next 10 years, it would make the hurdles a little higher for cellulosic ethanol as they're trying to get more cost effective and cost efficient. But one thing, I don't think the cheap oil is here to stay. I think that things are already happening in that marketplace, which is going to send it back up. But more importantly, ethanol is still, even with $50 barrel crude oil, heck, even with $30 barrel crude oil, ethanol is still the cheapest source of octane. And that's what you're really blending it for when you're blending at those E10 and E15 levels. You're taking a gasoline that maybe only 84 octane, and then you're using the cheaper ethanol to bring it up to the 87 octane, which people buy at the pump. And so there's no other way to add that octane that's cheaper than ethanol. So are we making as good of profits as we did when crude oil was $100 a barrel? No, we're not. But that's okay. We're not here to cheer for high oil prices. We're consumers. We buy gas too. We're here to fit our fuel into the marketplace where it makes sense. And right now it would make sense at higher levels than E10 based on its economic performance for octane. But we're kept out of that market by the oil monopoly. So again, we've got to get people in the White House, at the EPA, and in Congress to wake up, put the RFS back on track, and help us expand these markets.
So what do you think is going to happen with the RFS? Is there any indication at all?
well, if I knew that, I could go into consulting and live on an island somewhere or something. But I do think that when the EPA and the White House did not finalize what would have been a bad rule last year, and they kind of kicked the can down the road, I'm being optimistic. I don't know, but my gut tells me that that means they're trying to rethink things, that we've seen oil prices come down. All the scary things that the oil companies told the White House would happen didn't happen. Crude oil is down. Gas prices are down. All these different things. And so I think the White House is saying, wait a minute, we can move forward with the RFS. So my hope is they're kind of hitting the reset button and going to try to get this back on track. And hopefully by spring or summer, we're going to see some of those draft proposals, get them done this year. And really, we will have wasted 2014 and 2015. But for goodness sake, let's get 2016 back on track and start moving forward.